All right, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the adoration. We say thank you, Father. We thank you for working us both to will and to do of your own good plan. We thank you for the abundance of your grace upon us. We thank you because we are reigning in life. We say, hallowed be thy name. As we have come to learn of you this evening, Holy Spirit, speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Guide us into all truth in the name of the Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, good evening, and once again, you're welcome to night school today. I am excited to have you here, even as we believe that others are on their way. So today we want to examine a very important topic. Okay, we want to examine a very important topic. You know, there is a part of the Christian society, or even let's say the world now, that looks at the subject of success, okay, from a purely human standpoint. And the question we really want to address this evening is that, can the devil really stop anybody from succeeding? This is the first question we want to address. Now, is it possible for the devil to stop anyone now, I mean any believer, from succeeding? And then the second question would be that, is it God's responsibility to ensure that you succeed? These are the two questions that we'll be looking to answer, even as we consider the principles for success as believers. It's very important for us to be clear about something from the old world now, from this point, okay? That God does not want anybody to be small. The scripture says, John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whatsoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that scripture meant that at inception, God looked at the whole world and said, I am no longer comfortable with the way death is reigning. And so for as many of them that believe in my Son, Jesus, he says, I'm going to give you my life. And so God cannot give you his life and wire you to fail, because he's not wired to fail. So automatically you have to understand this, that God does not intend for anybody to be small. No matter how small, or no matter how insignificant, okay, the things that God has asked you to go and do, no matter how out of context, out of tune, out of what the world calls productive, no matter how absurd it is, you have to understand this, that God does not want you to be small. And so everything he's doing is so that you will be able to show forth the brightness of his glory, because you are the brightness of his glory. It is important that we are clear about this. So if God does not want us to be small, all right, it then means that anybody that is small of their own accord. And no good thing will he withhold from us. Praise God. It is very important that we are clear about this. It is very important that we start from the aspect of what God has done. It is very important that we look at scriptures that confirms the investment of God upon us. Praise God. It is very important that we're clear about it. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's start from Ephesians 1, 3. Because we have to read some scripture so that we can be clear about the intention of God concerning you. It is not like, how do you put it now? It is not like probably just God wants to do what he wants with your life. No, he wants to make something great out of it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, okay, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And we have said that one of the things that a blessing is an empowerment to succeed. Listen to me. God cannot give you all of the remaining empowerments to succeed in heaven just so that you will fail. Haba. He can't do that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has empowered us with all the spiritual empowerment in the heavenly places, through Christ Jesus. And 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of what? To the praise of the glory of his grace. So when you show forth the manifold wisdom of God, God is the glory of God is revealed in your success. I am saying this clearly so that we can understand the position of God concerning your success and greatness in life. And if you listen to our previous editions on the role playing in the kingdom, we explained and considered to an extent how God has performed all of his roles. And the scripture is confirming it. That he has given unto us, if God has given unto you all the spiritual empowerment to succeed that are in heaven, what else do you need? Of course, you need knowledge and action. He says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Interestingly, verse 8 even says that wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And he did something more interesting, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. Okay. 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on Christ, which are on earth, even in him. And 11 rather says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated, you can see here that this scripture keeps mentioning the fact that you have been predestinated for greatness. That when you gave your life to Christ, the DNA that came along with the new spirit you received, that DNA is greatness, it is uniqueness. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So God has so made everything possible for you. But the scripture keeps saying, you will notice that it kept saying in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So outside of Christ, no this and no peace. As a believer, outside of Christ, you can do nothing. You can try, but you can do nothing. Whether you like it or not. So people, you might want to argue that, but people in the world are without Christ and they are having success. Yes, I do not argue. Okay? So there's a difference between the success in the world and good success in the kingdom.
You have to be clear about it. Where do you belong? If you belong in the kingdom of God, without Christ, you can do nothing. If you belong to the world, okay, well, you can do whatever it is that has been done in the world. But at the end of the day, you know that the results do not compare. The results do not compare, rather. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So, the scripture we have read so far said that we have received the spiritual empowerment for success from God at conversion. He also revealed that we have received all kinds of wisdom and prudence. Now, that the manifold wisdom of God that you need to succeed. Because the scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. And the scripture says, look at me, there is abundance of wisdom in you. The scripture says he has abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence. And he says, thank you, Holy Spirit, having made known to us the mystery of his will. So the fact that he has made known to us the mystery of his will does not mean you have received the knowledge of the mystery of his will. So this is one missing key. It is why it looks like believers are not so successful. There is a missing key. Another very important question. Can the devil stop you from succeeding? No, never. It is impossible. Colossians chapter 1. It is impossible. We'll come back to Ephesians chapter 1 later. But let us read Colossians chapter 1, please. We'll come back to this scripture much later. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Okay. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. All right. Let's look at from verse 14. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 14. I would have loved us to start from verse 9, but we have a lot of things to catch up with. Now, it says, 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. Please listen here. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, if the devil, okay, were to be a force to be reckoned with, he wouldn't have been defeated. So, let me state it categorically here so that we can be clear. The devil is a defeated foe already. No wonder 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whatsoever, it didn't say whosoever, it said, the scripture said, whatsoever. The Holy Spiritual Apostle Paul said, whatsoever. He says, whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world. Whatsoever is born of God is greater than everything else in the world. And the devil is in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world. And it says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise God. Even our faith. Even our faith. So the devil cannot stop you from succeeding. You know why? Because you have overcome. You're walking in complete victory. I mean, you are meant to be walking in complete victory. Okay? So this is how you are able to walk in complete victory. It is by faith. Interestingly, there was a particular day I was studying this particular scripture, and the Holy Spirit just took me there and told me, hold on. Do you realize that what has overcome the world is not you, but your faith? So it means that you are not meant to fight. Your faith has overcome the world. So if you lack faith, it will look like the world has overcome you. If you lack faith, you will not be able to experience the victory. If you lack faith, it will look like the devil is the reason you are not succeeding. But the devil cannot stop you. I say again that the devil cannot stop you from succeeding. He can't. He can't. He really can't. So if the devil cannot stop you from succeeding, this is where we're going. If the devil cannot stop you from succeeding, and God has put upon you investments for your success, what then is the reason that the children of God are unable to experience the success that they have received? They are unable to experience the greatness that they have been pre-qualified for. They are unable to experience the glory they have been predestinated for. There is a statement. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. There is a statement that we need to be clear about in that Ephesians chapter 1. He kept saying in Christ, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." The question has always been whether we are in Christ or not. Praise God. The issue has always been whether we are in Christ or not. We want to be one step in Christ and one step in the world. See, to be in Christ does not mean you are detached from the world. Does not mean you are isolated from the world. To be in Christ means that you are light to the world. To be in Christ means that you are a solution provider to the problems of the world. It does not mean that you are secluded from it, but it means that you are the ones that they come to for solution. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." The problem has always been whether we are in Christ or not. So I need you to ask yourself this evening, are you in Christ? It is not enough to say Jesus is Lord. The question is, are you in Him? Because if you're not in Christ, it will be difficult for you to experience now the manifold wisdom of God that has been abounded towards you. If you are not in Christ, it will be difficult for you to obtain your inheritance. If you are not in Christ, it will be difficult for you to walk in victory. If you're not in Christ, it might be difficult for you to succeed. Are you in Christ? It's a very important question. Are you in Christ? And the question is, what does it mean to be in Christ? Because this is, see, let's not lie to each other. There are principles for this kingdom. And the first one, okay, if you're a believer, you've given your life to Christ, okay, nothing else matters. I want you to understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Hold on. He says, all things have passed away. Nothing else matters. He says, old things have passed away. He says, all things have become new. Interestingly, these things that are new are the things of God. And so you cannot be managing the things of God that are supposed to be manifesting in your life and still trying to be carrying the baggage of your past. It won't work that way. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, cast your cares upon him. For what? For he careth for you. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So in this kingdom, you are not allowed to carry your luggage. You are not allowed to carry your baggages. From the day you gave your life to Christ, those baggages should be dropped. If you are still carrying them, you are choosing to carry them. So the first thing we need to be clear about, if you're a child of God, if you're a believer, if you're a son of God, is that the first thing is you need to be in Christ. Because if you are not in Christ, you can't be unknown to anything. Without me, you can do nothing. This is what the Lord Jesus said. We're looking at John chapter 15. It's very important that we understand this. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Because this understanding of being in Christ might be quite the issue. Because if it is a prerequisite for greatness and success, if it is a prerequisite for manifesting, if it's a prerequisite for receiving everything that we have, okay, then what does it mean to be in Christ? John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. What does it mean to be in Christ? This is the Lord Jesus is speaking here. Okay? Look at it. Let's start from verse 6. He says, let's start from verse 5. He says, I am the vine. This is the Lord Jesus speaking here. And he says, you are the branches. He that stays in me. Emphasis on in Christ again. He that stays in me and I in him. He says the same brings forth fruit. The same person brings forth much fruit. For without me, you are nothing. If you stay in me, you bring forth fruit. Without me, you are nothing. And 6 says, if a man abides in me, we're reading John chapter 15, verse 6 now. It says, if a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And 7 says, if you abide in me, he was trying to explain to us now what it means to abide in him. What it means to abide in him. Was trying to explain what it means to abide in him. And he says, if you abide in me, this is what it means to be in Christ. And my words abide in you. In Yoruba, ti eyin ba n gbe inu mi, ti oro mi ba n gbe inu yin. This is what it means to abide in Christ. That his words abide in your spirit. This is what it means to abide in Christ. That his words abide in your spirit. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you will ask what you will and it will be done to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you shall ask whatever you will. And it shall be done to you that what people are pursuing, you will not need to pursue. All you will need is to say, I want this, and it will be done. Okay. So which one would you prefer? To be able to say, I want this, and it will be done, and to run around for 10 years to get it? I think I'll prefer to ask, and it should be done. And 8 says, herein is my Father glorified. Again, God is not glorified in you being small. I would like you to understand this. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Thank you, Father. It is important that you do this. So, the next question we want to ask is, how can we now, as believers in Christ, make his words abide in our spirit? Because maybe we need to clear about it now. When he was saying, and my words abide in you, he was not saying, and my words abide in your memory. No. He was not saying, you should have memory verses stored in your head. He's not saying you should be chewing out memory verses as if you are chewing out books you memorized. No. If I abide in you, if you abide in me, rather, And my words abide in you. The words need to abide in your spirit. We need to see what the word of God really does to people in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 12. Because we need to be clear about this. The word of God that stays in your head, okay, cannot be any fruit for you. Note this now and know peace. That the word of God that stays in your memory, that stays in your head, that stays in your mind, cannot be a fruit for you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It says, it does not say the word of God stays on the soul. It does not say the word of God is encamped in the soul. It says, the word of God pierces further to the dividing line between soul and spirit. That if the word of God is going to do its work in your life, it needs to go right past the soul to touch your spirit. And until the word of God has touched your spirit, it cannot abide in you. Until the word of God is in your spirit, it is not abiding in you. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. This is what the word of God does to people. So the word of God that you store in your soul cannot bear fruit for you. That's the honest truth. Because it cannot bring faith. Storing the word of God, the issue why it cannot bear fruit is because storing the word of God in our mind, okay, would be contrary to my mind, and it will not make sense to your mind. But the word of God is not intended to make sense. It is intended to make faith. And so it is better to keep the word of God where it can make faith and not where it will be trying to make sense. Is somebody with me this evening? This is how the word of God abides in people. That it touches your spirit. That it connects with your spirit. It connects with your spirit. You see, I've been teaching this for some time now because it is so important and because it works. If the word of God is not connected with your spirit, is not connecting with your spirit, you cannot see God manifest in your life. Try as you may. Worry as you may, puzzle as you may, pray as you may. If you are not engaging the word, that is, if it is not in your spirit, there's a big issue. Not a small issue or a medium-sized issue, a big one. A big one. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so it's not about memorizing now. It's about keeping the word in your spirit. But then how can we do this? Very important question. And to understand this, let us look quickly at Colossians chapter 2. We're still talking about the understanding the basic principles for success. And the first thing we need to be clear about is to be in Christ. We might have to continue this over a few weeks, over about 2 weeks, so that today we can focus on what being in Christ really means. And then next week, Monday, we can now talk about, engaging faith, okay? And then we can now talk about acting on faith. Are you with me now? Then we can now probably talk about visions later, divine direction later. But for now, let's understand the basic, being in Christ. It is so important. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, look at what the scripture is saying here. Kabasha tarabata. Look at what the scripture is saying here. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. See, in him again. Right. Let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being united together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Listening to what the scripture is saying here. And to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that you need to become great, that you need to manifest greatness, that you need to manifest goodness, success, okay? They are all hid in Christ and our Father, whom you are supposed to walk in. So it means that if you are walking in him, the treasures are open to you because they are in you. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, walk ye in him. You can't walk out of Christ and expect Christ to work for you. You can't be constantly comparing yourself to people in the world and expect yourself to still manifest as a child of God. Nah, it doesn't work like that. So the question is, how did you receive Christ Jesus? Because this same Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, you are complete in him. That everything you need is you are in him complete. It means that if you are outside of him, you are not complete. For you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. So we need to ask again, what does it mean to walk in him? And we have said, is what has to abide in our spirit. And then Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 is giving us a solution to it. It says, at the same way you receive Christ Jesus is the same way you are to walk in him. Permit me to ask you again, how did you receive Christ Jesus? This is how I received him. I heard the gospel of Christ, okay, and I believed in my heart that Jesus indeed died for me, okay, and I was a sinner, and I cried unto him, and I became saved. And I confess that Jesus is Lord. Three steps. I heard, I believed, and I confessed. This is how I received Christ Jesus. If this is how you received Christ Jesus too, Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, you are to walk ye in him the same way. You need to hear the promises of God for any area of your life. You need to believe in your spirit. So it means that you need to confess. Okay. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Because believing in the spirit is a whole different thing. That is where the question of faith comes in. Okay. Philemon 1 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by continuously acknowledging. Continuously is mine. The word continuously comes from me anyway. It says that the communication of your faith, that you are able to show forth your faith, that your showing forth of faith will be able to work by the acknowledging of every good thing you have in Christ Jesus. And so far we've been looking at every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. He says if you are not acknowledging them, you won't be able to experience them. So the question of believing is now a question of confessing what you have heard. But first, you need to hear. Job chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. The hearing of the ear is the first layer of reality you need to manifest any results you want. Praise God. He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. So when you hear, this is the first thing. You first need to hear the promises of God. You first need to hear the things that are available for you in Christ. He says, when you have heard it, then you need to believe. Because the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same way, with the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto anything you want to experience. So the second step is believing. At least everybody took that step before you accepted Christ Jesus. So by believing, you need to confess. After hearing the word, you need to continually hear it, because faith cometh by hearing, a continuous process, and you are going to be the one to speak to yourself that your spirit will hear. So you need to continually acknowledge when it has gotten to that point, okay, where you believe in your heart, then you confess with your mouth again. So it becomes a kind of hear it, say it, and tell it. It becomes a three-part process of hear it, say it, and tell it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him. So being in Christ is crucial. Being in Christ is important. Being in Christ is the first principle. Being in Christ is the first principle. It's the first thing. So learning how to be in Christ, learning how to stay in Christ, learning how to make his words abide in your spirit is the first challenge you have. It is not, the problem is not prayer. I'm being honest with you. It's not fasting. It's not like you have, it's not your village people. It's not ancestral problem. It's not generation. I'm being honest with you. See, these generational causes, ancestral problem, they are just manifesting because you have failed to confront them with the word. Abba, nothing can resist this creator. So those things that are seem to be, they are, whatever names that they have called the issues you may have, okay, they are appearing because you have failed to approach them. You have failed to resist them with the word of God. If you begin to resist them with the word of God today, they will flee. So you see, so whatever can flee from you, if you resist it, is not your problem. Whatever it is that can flee from you, if you resist it, is not your problem. So this is why the devil is not our problem. The problem has always been whether we know what we are, or we know what we can do or not. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus, according as his divine power has given unto you all things that pertains to living and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We are called into glory and virtue. But we need the knowledge of the person that called us to be able to experience it. Four, now, this is where I'm going to be rounding up, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, listen to me, that by these promises, you are going to be a partaker of the divine nature. So now tell me, can a partaker of the divine nature not be successful? Can somebody that is at the same level, because that is what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature, that is at the same class as God, can such a person be a failure? But it says you will come to the level where you become at the same class with God when you engage the promises. That by these promises, you will become partakers of the divine nature. by these promises. By these promises. So if I were you, I would face every challenge, every obstacle first, before praying, first, before thinking of a solution, I would face them head on with the promise of God first. So that if there be any spiritual influence that might want to, that might be the reason behind it, okay, they can take their hands off. So before I ask someone to go and rest, if I ask a sick person to go and take paracetamol or go and rest, I bind and deal with the sickness first. I send any sickness, any form of sickness away from that person. So by the time I'm done with the first one, the person will not need to take medicine again. Everything can respond to the world. If you are the same class as God, okay, then everything will respond to you the way everything responds to God. If you didn't hear me right, let me say it again. If you become a partaker of the divine nature through those promises, everything will respond to you the same way they respond to God. I pray for you that the light of this word will shine on you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if there are any questions today.